some of our folks who now are no longer homeless, many of you would look around and you wouldn't even know who they were, because they're doing so very, very well. And that was just a period of their lives, just like we've all had a period of our lives where things were down for us. And, you know, but that was part of that. And part of that was defining, you know, really what our church's mission is and all that. So that was 2015. But I really believe that 2017 clarified who we are. The year 2017, many of you, again, came here last year, and even 2017 is new to many of you. We've got a lot of folks sitting here today that you weren't here, and you weren't here 3-4 months ago, and we're thrilled about that. But the point that I wanted to make, we were clarifying, and I taught a series of messages, shared with you a series of messages on Sunday morning and Saturday evening called Unchurching Jesus, His Simple Plan That We Screwed Up. Okay, for those of you who are our guests, we just sort of speak plainly around here. Hope that's okay with you. And, you know, and I was talking about the fact that the church, Jesus gave the church a mission. He said, look, there are a few things that are really important. There's a whole lot of things that are not important. And you can sort all those out, but make sure you get those important things right. And those important things, in his words, in five words, he said, love God and love your neighbor. He said, you get those two commandments right, you can forget about the rest of them. Because if you get those two right, the rest of them will take care of themselves. And so that's really what we focused on. And so we clarified who we are as a church and who our mission is really all about. And we were talking about the fact that our church, the focus of this church, of New Hope, and if you're our guest today, just let me just help you so you know what you're dealing with here. Our focus is not you that are here today. Our focus are those that have yet to come to know Jesus Christ. Now, you may be one of those. If that's the case, I hope you'll be the one today. I'll talk about that in a minute. Actually, I want everybody to be the one today. I'll get into that. But the point is that our focus is on taking the gospel to a world that needs Jesus Christ so desperately. Now, having said that, I have to believe that that's probably every church's mission. I was asking Bill last night, I was teasing Bill last night about, you know, that's probably a part of every church's mission statement, don't you think? And I asked Bill, I said, Bill, do we even have a mission statement? And he doesn't know either. And I told you, we don't know what we're doing. I don't even know if we have a mission statement. But I would think that every church in its mission statement or whatever you ask somebody, their part of that would be, yeah, we want to reach the lost. We want to reach the broken. We want to reach the hurting. And I think that all churches are sincere about that. My opinion is there are no churches anywhere that don't believe. I think they all are sincere about that. I think that every church wants to reach the lost and the hurting and all those things. I believe that. I think they're sincere. But it's not happening everywhere, is it? It's just not. I'm going to share with you some statistics. So let me kind of preface this. In fact, go ahead and give me that first thing here. So I came across an article that was talking about just some statistics in churches today. And when I say churches, that means all Christian churches, not necessarily, I guess you'd say all Protestant churches. That's what it was about. That was what the statistics were about. So that would be your Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and all those kind of things. Everything, including, you know, those that don't label themselves like we don't label ourselves. But all of those put together, the average public profession of faith, and what that means is somebody who comes to that church and for the first time says, I now understand that salvation is of Jesus Christ and Him alone. I'm putting my trust and faith in Him and not trying to work my way to heaven, not trying to earn my way, not trying to buy my way to heaven. See, because that's what salvation is, folks. In case you don't know, you can't get to heaven by going to church. Okay, sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a bakery makes you a donut. Okay? You go to heaven because you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, meaning I come to the place where I realize I can never be good enough, but He was already good enough. He made it possible. Jesus made the way. Accept His free gift of salvation. Okay, that's salvation. Now, so anybody who comes to a church and comes to that realization and does that, that's what we mean by public profession. Within that ministry, they express faith. Now, that having said that, so let me give you a statistic. And that is that in the average church, one of those happens per year for every 48 regular attenders. Now, let me explain what that means. That means that a church of 50 sees about one person saved or born again or converted, whatever you call it, becoming a Christian in 1 year's time. That's the average. That's what they report. And look, that seems crazy to me, but honestly, I know some amazing pastors. I have some very dear friends as pastors. And that's about what they experience. Their church, in fact, I've got a very dear friend who, as I share with you, he actually had to resign his church because they didn't like some of the new things he was doing with the ministry. And I always remember the thing that he said to me. He said, Eric, the biggest problem I have is that I don't have enough lost people in my church. Actually, he said, I don't have any lost people in my church. You see, they didn't feel welcome there. They didn't feel like that was a place they could come. And so this is the statistic, the average church. So a church of 100, for example, sees 2 people become Christians every year. Now, what is it here? What kind of an experience do we have here at New Hope? Well, for us in the year 2017, and it was actually consistent before, we have somebody saved for about every 3 regular attenders. Now, please understand, that sounds braggadocious. Maybe you're our guest. Please understand, that is not how I intend this. You'll see that in a minute. But see, in the year 2017, we averaged about 160 people on our weekend services, between Saturday night and Sunday. We averaged about 160 attenders. And we had 54 people in our church services accept Christ as Savior. Now, I'm not talking about, well, kind of maybe sort of where I just say, hey, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, okay, count them. I'm not talking about that. That's what we kind of used to do. I'm not talking about a bunch of children. In fact, none of those were children. Those were all adults. And many of them were people like Rick, who came here for over a year and sat and loved everything and loved it and finally came to the point where he said, I'll never forget it, Rick, when you walked this aisle and you said, it's time. See, I didn't even know that he wasn't a Christian for sure, because we're not hard pressure here. But he said, it is time for me to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And boy, would you look at what he does now? I'm talking about that kind of a situation. I'm talking about some of these that many of you have had the opportunity to pray with somebody at this altar. And what a glorious time that is, isn't it, Harold? It's an amazing thing. So I'm talking about people who genuinely have come to Christ. Now, the question is, so why are we so different? Why is New Hope so different? Why do we see this many people come to Christ when the average church does not get to see that? Is it because our church is better than they are? Of course not. Of course not. There's no church any better than any other church. Now, I mean this. Every church has its place in our world. There are different people, different Christians, who need different things. Our church just happens to be focused on the lost. And I mean, when I say it, I mean we're really focused on the lost. Really focused on the broken. Really welcoming to them. So it's not because our church is better. Is it because our music is better? Well, our music is better, but that's not the reason. I'm biased, is it because of our facility? I mean, no, it's not our facility. I mean, it's sort of crowded in here. We started a Saturday night for the overflow. We're trying to sort all that out, and we desperately need somebody to drop a big chunk of money on us so we can knock this wall out right here. You see that, right? We need more room for our kids. We need more room. We need more parking. Our parking lot's full every single Sunday. There's not an empty spot out here anywhere. But it's not because of our facility. We don't have this, I drive by some of these mega churches with their kids' play yard is bigger than our church. And I think, well, yeah, I mean, I can see where people would go there. I can see why young families would want to go there. And it's not because of our facility. Is it because the pastor here is better than the rest? Yes, that is it. Let's pray, and we're going to go home. Turn me back on. Of course that's not it. Of course that's not it. So why is it? What makes it different here? I'm going to tell you exactly why it's different. In fact, we're going to let Jesus tell us why it's different. I want you to turn, or just, if you have a Bible, you can certainly welcome to turn, but otherwise we're going to put it on the screen. Luke chapter number 15. I'm going to read for you. Jesus is telling us a story here, and in it, this really is a picture of what Christianity is supposed to be, and it's what every church is supposed to be then. This is what Jesus had to say about how it was supposed to work. Luke chapter 15, verse number 3, and he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it?" He said he goes out there and he stays out there until he finds that one that's lost. And when he has found it, he puts it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He's so happy about that. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors and says to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. He's rejoicing, but there's also rejoicing in heaven. Look at verse 7. And I say unto you, now these are the words of Jesus, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents. Just one. Do you know what a party you caused in heaven when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now, there was a party in here when some of you came. And when you got out of that chair and without the walker that you needed so badly, and somehow she managed to get down to the front to ask Jesus Christ to save her, there was a party going on at New Hope. But there was a bigger party going on in heaven. See, you didn't know God was such a partier. He is. He is. A little different way than some of us, but he is. Look, there was joy in heaven, more joy. Joy in heaven shall be over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, we look at that, and you have to look a little bit harder to find out really, though, why New Hope is different and what Jesus really is after there for us. And this morning, we see this celebration in heaven. We sing the song. How many of you remember that old song? For there is more joy in heaven over one lost soul that has found his way. I won't sing it for you because I want our guests to come back next week. Then over 99 just persons, which never gone astray. So we sing these songs and we get this concept. This is about a shepherd going out and finding that lost sheep. He's going out and he is searching and he's searching. He's looking every dangerous place. This sheep is out there scared and hurting and doesn't know how to find his way back and doesn't even know if he's welcome back. And that lost sheep gets found by the shepherd. That's what the story's about, yes? But can I say to you this morning, the reason that that shepherd can go find that lost sheep is because there are 99 who will do three things. Number one, they will stay in the fold. He trusts them. I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk to you about each one of these. They'll stay in the fold. Number two, they'll take care of one another while the shepherd's out looking for that sheep. And number three, they will rejoice and welcome that lost sheep when he comes home. Can I tell you what's different about New Hope? Again, not better, just different. It's right there. It's right there. We can make our focus. I can make my focus. Our leaders and some of the people that really are out working in our community to try to find what they can do that because there are 99 who will stay in the fold. Stay faithful, stay true, and take care of each other. Take care of one another and rejoice and welcome that lost person. So let me just talk to you about these three things this morning. And I said, honestly, I just want to talk with you this morning. I just want to share a few things. So number one, you see, that shepherd said when he left that fold, he basically said, I trust you. He said, I trust all the rest of you to stay here. I trust you to stay right where I feel like you're strong enough. Can I just say to some of you, as a pastor, I'm not able to come and see many of you like I used to. And honestly, that hurts me. In the early days of our church, when we had 30 people, I could come out and I could visit with some of you in your homes. And I could call you regularly. I mean, there were times when I didn't have that much to do. I mean, it was always not necessarily nothing to do, but, I could pick up the phone and call you. And I showed somebody this week my phone. I showed Matt my phone this week. At one point, by 10 o'clock in the morning, I had 32 messages on my phone. I had 7 phone calls to return by 10 o'clock in the morning. And I can't do it anymore. If my focus is going to be the lost, it hurts me, but I can't be for all of you, you 99. So this morning, I just want to thank the 99. I want to thank those of you that you have been faithful, even when I have not been able to be for you what I used to be. I've not been able to come to every single time you've been in a hospital or there's a doctor. I can't constantly be out there. I just don't have enough time. There's too many lost sheep that are hurting and broken. And I just want to say thank you for letting me do that. And the good shepherd said, "Not, please understand, I'm not comparing myself to Christ, but my position in the church is similar to that. And I just wanted to say thank you to the fact that I can say to those of you, the fact that I don't call you anymore doesn't mean I don't love you. It doesn't mean I don't care as much as I always did. I just can't. So I trust that you're okay." Now, please understand, the shepherd would have run back had those sheep been in trouble. And if you get in trouble, that I will run back to you. I'll be there. I will drop what I'm doing, and I'll be at your side. And you know that. Oh, but basically, if I don't contact you, it's not because I don't care about you. If you're one of those, then you're going through a tough time, and you're doing it all by yourself, and you haven't called me. Please don't get hurt that I don't call you. Because honestly, my day is filled with people who are asking for my time. There's lost sheep that I can hear, but we have to go find them. And there are many of you in that situation. That's what the good shepherd said. He said, I trust you. Please know that you're appreciated, even if it's not said as much. To those of you in the 99, please know you are appreciated, even if it's not said as much. I said a few things about Bill last night. I'm just looking around this room, and I'm thinking about some of you, and I can't start naming names today. Because I wouldn't know, I wouldn't be able to stop. And we'd be here until 3. We're already going to be here till 1:30, and I don't want to go any further than... I'm just kidding. Our guests are going, huh? I didn't sign up for that. But I think about some of you who have really paid some price to make this happen. There are some of you, you've been carrying the financial load for this ministry. There are some of you, you have stepped up to do something. Let me just move on to the second thing, because otherwise I'll get carried away and I'll do all kinds of dumb things. I'm not guaranteeing that I won't do dumb things even if I move on. It'll just change. Number two, the shepherd was saying to them, I trust you to take care of each other. The shepherd was going to go out and find the lost sheep. And he said, I trust you to take care of each other. I trust you to look around. I trust you 99 to look around and see who's sitting alone. You know, there's always somebody sitting alone in here. There's always somebody who's not got a crowd of people around them. He said, I trust some of you, you 99, I trust you to take care of them. I trust you this is what our life groups are all about. Do you know what Recovering Hope really is all about? Recovering Hope is all about, hey, God, Jesus, you go find them and bring them here and we'll take care of them. Best we can. Now, please understand, we don't take the place of Jesus. Don't get me wrong. But Jesus' mission, he said, the good shepherd goes out and he's trying to find the lost. But he needs to have some people to bring them to who will then take care of them. He said, and I trust you all to take care of each other. This is what our life group's about. This is why Victoria tonight is your first ladies' meeting. Casey's been meeting on Monday nights now for several weeks. Yesterday morning, Mauricio had a bunch of men downstairs, and that's going to continue the third Saturday of every month. See, we've got these. Laura Pierce had to leave today, but she's got some ladies coming to her home on Tuesday. This is what we're talking about. This is people taking care of people. It's God's people taking care of God's people because it can't always be I can't personally take care of everybody here. Not if I'm going to go out and try to find the lost, and neither can some of our others. Sherry, I am constantly hearing about, I said I'm not going to name names, but just as an example to encourage. Sherry, I'm constantly hearing about the people that you're helping in this community. I'm constantly hearing somebody will call me, they'll say, Pastor, pray for me because I'm at the hospital. And they'll say, okay, give me 20 minutes and I'll be there. That's okay, Sherry's here. Well, Sherry's not a deacon. Sherry's not on staff. And again, please don't get me wrong. It's just an example. Many of you have done that. It's people taking care of people. And the shepherd said, the reason that I can go out and find the lost is because you will try to take care of each other. And the reason that we can focus on the lost here at New Hope, the reason we're different here at New Hope is because there are people taking care of people. Would you please continue to do that? Amen. And would you please accept my thanks? I don't know how else to say it, but thank you for taking care of others. Thank you for taking care of people. When I can't, or, when I've put myself in a position where I'm not in the right place at the right time, and I just want to thank you for that. Now, please understand, that doesn't mean that I don't want to feed you. Please understand, I am not only, I talk about addiction a lot. I talk about homelessness a lot. I talk about brokenness a lot. But that doesn't mean I don't want to feed the 99 as well. Please know that. You know, look, I never claim to be the best pastor. I never claim to be the best Bible teacher. But I promise you this, I will prepare. You come on Wednesday night, I promise you, you'll find me prepared. And we'll study the Bible, and I will teach you the best of my ability what the Bible says and as deep as I can possibly do it. And I promise you that's true. I will do that. But you know, but my focus and our focus as a church has to be on the lost. I would say this. I had a pastor's something. There's all kinds of pastor stuff out there. There was a group. I got contacted about 2 weeks ago by a Pastors Golf Association. I think they were calling. They were playing off a PGA, and they said, "Hey, yeah, you know, Pastor, we got your number all, you know, on the internet, and we're putting together a Pastors Golf thing, golf league this summer, and we were wondering if you'd be a part of it." And they said, "You know, we're gonna play a round of golf 3 days a week, all through the summer." I said, "Brother, I haven't played a round of golf in 3 years." And it's because I was horrible. So it's because I don't have time for that. I don't have time to play one round of golf. And I don't know why that came to my mind. It's just, but I guess what I'm saying is, I want you to understand that I please know I'm not out playing golf. That's why, not why I don't take your phone call. I told you, my phone blows up and I get all these calls to return. And some of you call me, you don't leave me a voicemail. I don't call you back. And please know it's not because I don't care. I do care, but if it's not something that's really important that I have to call you back, I just don't have time to. And I just want you to know it's not because I'm not out playing golf. It's because I'm at Krispy Kreme. I just needed to unload that. We're an honest place. No, and that's why we have a board of directors. We have ministry leaders here. We call them deacons as well. And I want you to know who they are. And by the way, if you don't know who they are, then ask around. I'm not even going to have them stand up. I want you to find them. I really want them to find you too. You pick one of them. Pick one. Pick one and say, "You're my deacon. You're the one I'm going to call when I have trouble. You're the one I want to be able to call when I need something." I mentioned Bill last night in my message at Experience Hope, and he was surrounded after the service by a family in great need. And they stayed for 30 minutes to talk with you, didn't they? And I love that. I love that. Please know, I don't need the attention. No, I mean that. I know some like to have the attention. I don't need any more attention than I have right now. But I will gladly take it. Please don't. Now I feel like I feel like I'm saying, leave me alone. That is not what I'm saying. That is not what I'm saying at all. I want to be there for you. You call me when you, I have to backtrack now. You call me when you need me. I mean that. You call me when you need me. If it's important, leave me a message. I can't. I don't know what's going on over there, but looks like Joanne's the ringleader. Joanne looks guilty. Are you messing with our guests, Joanne? Okay. Take care of one another. But please, please, please know that I'm always available for you. I'm going to be... Well, I won't even say that. That's somebody's personal business. I just want you to know that you have these folks available to you. The last thing, third thing, and I told you, I just want to chat with you today. I'm just talking today. The third thing that the shepherd said was, he said, "I can go and find the one that's lost because I know that the 99, and here's where it really comes in, I know that when I bring that lost sheep home, the 99 will rejoice with me and will welcome that lost sheep." You see, do you know that when sheep get lost, they get dirty? See, when sheep get lost, they get into messes. And when the shepherd goes and gets them, they're dirty. Their wool's all matted. They don't smell good. You know, and they don't look good. Do you remember when that was you? I remember when it was me. I still get dirty sometimes. And God's got to clean me up. But I'm so glad that even as the pastor of this church, I can come here dirty sometimes. And I got some people that I can go and be honest with and say, hey, look, I'm struggling with something and I need you to pray for me. And I know they will. And they won't say, oh, I just can't believe that our pastor gets mad when he drives. You're not blameless. You can't be a pastor. Look, I got news for you. I haven't been blameless since I was 6 months old. Well, that's a qualification of a pastor, isn't it? Yeah, but I can't figure out how anybody is blameless. I've yet to figure that one out. Because I know that I was horrible when I was 2. And I'm worse now. So, look, I know that no matter who Jesus goes out and rescues, I know the people of New Hope will welcome you and rejoice with you. Would you rejoice if Jesus rescued a prostitute and brought her here? Good. Because she's here today. I just wanted her to hear you say it. Would you rejoice if God takes the guilt away from somebody who's had an abortion? Good, because there's a whole bunch of them here today. And if God hasn't taken that guilt away from you yet, you need to let him do that today. Because you are broken just like we all are. Look, and I don't even care how you feel about it, right? I don't even care how you feel about it. Just if you're struggling with guilt. But see, the reason Jesus went out and rescued 54 souls last year and brought them here is because he didn't have to worry about whether or not they'd be accepted. He didn't have to worry about anybody saying, well, so tell me what your story is before we let you in the door. I had somebody tell me recently they were going before the board of their church to be examined whether or not they could become a member. Are we supposed to do that, Bill? I thought Jesus said if you're saved and baptized, you're already kind of a member. You know, we don't even do membership right here. It's like, I don't know what the difference is between a member. If you're a part of a family, aren't you already a member? So if you're our guest for the second week, you're already a member. If you want to do something official, yeah, we'll come up with a handshake or something, I guess. I don't know. Put a sticker on you or, I mean, we'll let Harold Jackson give you a nice big kiss on the mouth if that's what, no, I don't know. Bible says greet one another with a holy kiss. Oh, that's Harry kiss. I got that mixed up. I thought it was Harry kiss. My bad. I don't even know what we do with that. All I know is if you come, you're a part of the family. I know you say, well, that's just not the church polity I've been familiar with. Sorry, I already told you I don't know what I'm doing. All I know is that the shepherd loves to go find lost sheep, but he needs a place to bring them. And when he saves them and starts to clean them up, he needs somebody to say, hey, you know what? They can come just the way they are. Matted wool, dirty, smelly. I was kidding Kip yesterday. I said, Kip just sort of sweats compassion. And he said, can you smell it? Did you ever hug somebody who wears a lot of cologne? And then you walk away from them, you get in your car, and you can still smell them, like all day? And it's like, you know, I want to be like that, Kip. I want you all, if you encounter me in the morning, I want you to smell me all day. So I'm going to start wearing too much cologne. No, I want to smell like compassion. And I want somebody to come in and say, man, it smells different in here. It smells like compassion and love and kindness. And I want them to smell it all day long when they leave. I want them to get in their cars and still smell it, still feel it. And I really believe that we're trying to get even closer, but I think we're on the right track. And I want to thank you for that. You 90 and 9, I wish I could say something about each one of you. I can't. We don't have time. But I just want you to know that I appreciate you so very, very much. So what's really different here is that, you know, the shepherd's able to go out and find those lost sheep that are feeling, you know, lost sheep feel guilty about being out there. They feel guilty about being out there. You know, they're ashamed of some of the things they had to do while they were out there. I just want you to know, that's you. We rejoice with you here. And we're so glad you've come here. And I want to thank those of you who feel that way. you 90 and 9 who make that happen. You make it possible for us to be able to go out and find the lost sheep. Now, having said that, my title was Be the One. Be the One. Let me close with this. So I want you to be the one. If you're that lost sheep this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you please be the one and come make it an even 100? Could you just come? It's more than that, but it works better to, let's just pretend like it's only 99 in here. Would you be that one? Come be a part of the fold. We want you so badly to become part of the fold. Not our. It's not about us. But be part of Jesus' fold. He's the shepherd. He's the Savior. And he said, I will find you. I will find you where you are. I'll find you on a cliffside somewhere. I'll find you in a deep hole somewhere. The Bible says that there's nowhere we can go when Jesus can't find us. Jesus went to hell after he left the cross. He can find you wherever you are, whatever hell you're in. And he said, look, be the one. Be the one that comes. Be the one that lets this. Be the one who lets the 90 and 9 rejoice today. Be that one that comes down here and you trust Christ as your Savior today. Be that one so we can all rejoice and prove to you that everything I just said is true. Would you do that this morning? Secondly, can I go back to the 90 and 9? Do you notice, other versions just simply say 90 and 9. Version I use says 90 and 9. Can I just make this point? Maybe you're part of the 90. And that means you're here and you're supportive and you love everything and you will welcome those lost sheep just like everybody else. But you're not really actively involved. You're not working with our kids. You're not opening a door. You're not taking an offering. You're not on the worship team. You're not greeting people and loving on people. Maybe you just come and I'm so glad. And Jesus loved those 90. I love those 90. I do. I love that majority of the church that just comes and just sits. And you make my week. When I see you, it makes my day. And I'm just so thrilled to see you every Sunday, every Saturday night, every Wednesday night. I love it. But could I just challenge you maybe to be the one of those 90 that becomes one of the 9? You see, there's always a small percentage of any group that does the majority of the real work. See, there's always 10%. Who really step up, who really are actively making things happen. There's probably 10% of this crowd carrying 80% of the financial load. Well, that got quiet. I don't know that to be true. I'm guessing that to be true. I don't see the money and I don't care what you give. That's not my business. I only care whether or not you're listening to Jesus. Say, well, I was liking this message until you got onto the money thing. If you know me very well, you know I don't talk about money a lot. But listen, I do know that if we're going to continue to be a church that reaches the lost, it takes money. I was just thinking about this. I actually was thinking about our giving, our general giving here, and how many souls are saved. Would it mean anything to you if I said it costs $1,670 to save a soul? Well, just think about that for a minute. That's what it costs based on what our giving was last year and how many souls were saved. I don't know about you. That doesn't sound like a lot of money to me. My soul's worth more than that, right? So I wonder if some folks couldn't step up out of the 90 and say, you know what? I could be part of that 10%. Ironically, 10% is the example Jesus gave us, wasn't it? For our giving, 10% of our incomes, the tithe. Again, I don't preach that that's a New Testament command. It's not. But, that's the example he gave us. And I wonder if somebody couldn't say, you know what? I could do a little more than I'm doing. I could give a little more than I'm giving. I could serve a little bit more. I could come a little earlier. Did you know that these doors are open at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday? Did some of you know that these doors are open at 10 till 10? Some of you don't know that because you don't get here till 10. We actually open up really early here. We're actually here usually 7:30. Come early. Get to know people. People taking care of people. Come early. Get involved in something. Be a part of something. Be a part of one of these groups. Help feed the hungry after church. Help with our children. We're in dire need of workers to love on children. See, the 10% do that. The 9 do that. We need some of the 90 to step up to become one of the 9. Would you be the one this morning? See, the nine are the ones who lead in love, and they're the first ones to welcome. They're really the ones who also then help take care of the 90. I just want to challenge you this morning. Could you be a part of that? Thank you for letting me just talk with you this morning. It is the honor of my life. I know I don't deserve to pastor this church. I know that. And I don't understand why God chooses who he chooses. I will never get that. Some of you I look at and I say, God, why would you not choose him? Why would you not choose her? And sometimes God just says, because I like to use the weak so everybody knows it's me. I like to use the stupid so everybody knows it's my wisdom. I like to use those that remember how dirty they were so they can love on those that don't smell very good when they come in. Father, I